Good morning and welcome to our Monday morning chapel. On the bottom of the page in your bulletin, the panel, you'll see that we have a special speaker coming tonight on the subject of demon possession. I think you'd find this very interesting. Reverend Carl Anderson from Heritage Lutheran Church up in Apple Valley, Minnesota, is coming to speak to us tonight. So I encourage you to come to that. That's at Meyer Hall. It's actually in the seminar room. That would be Meyer Hall 101 at 7:30 tonight. Also, I started the week with a mistake. So our hymn for today, the opening hymn, should be 59, not 50, but 59. But before we get to the hymn, please join me in the prayer for Monday morning. You will find that on page 168 in the front part of the hymn book, page 168. At the beginning of the week, I cry to you, O Holy Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would fill my heart and mind with your Holy Spirit, that I may think, speak, and do only that which pleases you. Unite my thoughts and desires with yourself in the love of Jesus Christ. Cleanse my conscience with his blood, that I may grow in you this entire week, yes, all the days of my life. Strengthen me with your might, make me sincere in my love to you, and willing to serve you and my neighbor. Teach me to resist the temptation of my own corrupt heart and the enticements of evil men. Make the vanity of this world bitter to me, that you may become the more sweet. Teach me also to bear the burden of this week. Lead me as a loving father, and help me to follow you as your child and obey you. Bless all my labor and guide me with your wisdom, that I may be cheerful and confident and also faithful in all my work. Be the beginning and the end of all my labor to your glory and my salvation. Amen. We join in hymn 59.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 17th chapter, beginning with the 11th verse. Now it happened as Jesus went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. Years ago, my wife showed me a letter to Dear Abby that had been in the newspaper. Dear Abby, for those of you that don't know, is a kind of an advice columnist to tell you how to handle social situations. And this lady had written in a letter, and apparently what had happened was following a wedding, a couple had sent, the married couple had sent a form letter back to everybody for their gifts. And it basically said, "Dear blank," then they'd fill in your name, "thank you for the wonderful gift of blank," and they'd fill in the gift. "Yours was the best one we received," and then the name at the bottom. And this lady who was sending this in was very upset that she had received this from this young couple. Note to yourselves, if you get married, okay, don't do that. But she was very upset. She was very upset with how little attention had been paid to expressing gratitude for the gifts that were given. And Dear Abby went on to write about how what a social faux pas this was as well. We're hurt when we don't get thanked fittingly or appropriately for something that we do for someone or a gift that we give. It bothers us when there's no gratitude expressed back. So where does ingratitude come from? Where does the lack of or the difficulty for us of expressing thanks to people, why is that so hard? Why is it something our parents had to push us into when we were little kids? Well, I thought about this myself over the weekend writing my homily, and these are my 6 reasons, there are probably more, for myself, okay? First of all, self-centeredness. Life's all about Don. Ask my wife. Secondly, my pride. Okay, my pride. If you think about it, it takes humility to express gratitude to someone for giving you something. Thirdly, we just assume that we deserve things. Call it entitlement. And sometimes the more we have, the more we can, the less grateful we can be. Probably a person that has treated waiters and waitresses the poorest that I've observed is one of the wealthiest people I've ever eaten with. The more you have, sometimes you just feel like, well, I deserve what I'm getting. Fourth, a lack of appreciation for the gift or the size of the gift and or maybe the sacrifice that somebody had to make to give it to you. Fifth, stubbornness, and that goes back to pride. And sixth, maybe just a general unwillingness to be thoughtful of others. Now, the story of the 10 lepers that I just read to you from Luke is placed there by the Holy Spirit not simply to demonstrate to us another beautiful example that our Lord is both true man and true God. Only true God, divine God that he is, being able to heal people. And the miracle of that should not be missed here, of course. But the real reason that God the Holy Spirit tacks on the remainder of the story of these individuals, the one who comes back and the 9 who do not, is to shed a spotlight on this issue of gratitude, and in a sense here, ingratitude as well. Now, leprosy is something we don't have to deal with so much in our world. When you were in Sunday school and you first heard the story of leprosy, you probably were freaked out by it like I was. And leprosy, there are still close to 6 million cases of it in the world presently today. It's found in India, Nigeria, Indonesia, a number of other places, very rare here in the United States. It often will cause, I just list these off, blindness, nerve damage, disfigurement, infection inside of your nasal cavity, and sometimes the loss of facial features, permanent nosebleeds, damage to the brain and spinal cord, and kidney failure. So quite often it was, for many people, a sentence of death. And you can contract it by contact with bodily fluids. Children were especially vulnerable to this sitting around adults that may have had it. And so in the ancient world, in the time of Christ, without knowing how to deal with this, many times they would create kind of a quarantine situation. And so it was likewise in Jesus' land. Today, to find something a little bit comparable for us today might be like the Ebola virus and something like that. Now, leprosy is really kind of an outward visual reminder of the entire fall into sin and how it's affected human beings, not just spiritually with our sinfulness, but even affects our bodies. The fact that we have to deal with disease and sickness and illness and the possibility of death directly in our future, all of that is because of that horrible ravages of the fall into sin on humanity. And it really should demonstrate to us how in every part of our life we are completely at the mercy of God. We are just completely at the mercy of God. I always think with these 10 lepers, the day before they realized they had this disease, so the day before it was diagnosed, what were they doing? What was going on in their life? What were the activities they were involved in that day? How normal would their life have seemed that day, just like ours today? And how quickly our lives can change with the diagnosis of some type of illness. It just shows how frail and vulnerable we are, even our physical bodies, in this fallen world. So in their miserable condition, quarantined away from society, away from their families, they now cry out to the Son of God as Jesus walks by. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Kyrie eleison is what the words, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. That's often an expression of people who are in this desperate condition. Lord, have mercy on us. I remember my liturgics professor when I was in seminary said that when we sing the Kyrie in the liturgy, it's not just asking God to have mercy on us to forgive our sins, which is most important, but it's also calling out to God to have mercy on us for the rest of our fallen condition, illness, sickness, the potential of death. Now, they're in such a helpless condition, these 10 men. They have no way to help themselves at all, and all they can do is appeal to the good-hearted nature of the Son of God. All they can do is appeal to the mercy and the compassion of Jesus as he walks by. And our Lord graciously grants them healing in this wonderful, miraculous way. Now, the story goes on, of course, that it's only this one leper who returns. And the Holy Spirit is interesting. He underlines where he's from because it's significant. He's a Samaritan, someone you might not expect this from, someone who maybe did not have the things of God in his midst the way probably the other 9 did. And notice that the Holy Spirit also, and our Lord himself, highlights the lack of thankfulness, the ingratitude in the other 9 who don't return to give thanks for this miracle. So God wants us to understand how the heart of faith in Christ appreciates the work of God. We see this a lot of times in Scripture, different stories and accounts where God provides a miracle or provides some way of deliverance. Noah, when he comes out of the ark, immediately builds an altar to show his gratitude to God. The woman who Jesus had forgiven of her horrible sins, wiping his feet with her tears and her hair. We think of Zacchaeus and the joy he expressed in his house, the widow and her mite at the temple alms box. So often God will shine a little spotlight on the hearts of faith of people who express gratitude to God for his wonderful mercy and compassion. So the thanksgiving that God loves to see is not coerced out of us, like our parents when they pushed us when we were little. Make sure you tell Grandma thank you. It's not a coerced gratitude that God likes to see. It's a voluntary gratitude. It's one that just flows out of us because we realize what an amazing Savior we have, who's come to rescue us from our sin and all the conditions on our bodies so that someday we could get to go to heaven. I've told this story before, but I think of this account in my life frequently whenever I read the story of the 10 lepers. A friend of mine, when I was a senior in high school, I happened to be in his dormitory room one night, and he got a box, pretty good-sized box, and inside of it, it was full of little presents, a whole bunch of them, maybe 20 presents or so, and he was slowly unwrapping them, and they're all kind of neat little gifts, and I said, "Is it your birthday?" He said, "No." He said, "I get this every year," and basically what happened was, when I was in eighth grade, so 4 years earlier, when I was in eighth grade, I was swimming one day and I saw a boy who fell out of a boat, a little boy who was about 7 years old. And he swam out to rescue him and brought him to shore, gave him mouth to mouth, and the boy survived and lived. And every year on that boy's birthday, since that date, the parents would send him a box of presents. Now, you think they were grateful for that tremendous saving that it took for that boy's life? Imagine for just a minute, for 10 seconds, if today an angel could come down and just pick you up and fly you for 10 seconds over hell, just to see what you've been spared from because of your Savior, just to see what Christ was willing to suffer so you'd never ever have to know what that's like. And then if that angel could fly you up into heaven for 10 seconds, and just let you experience and see and feel what that bliss is going to be like. How that might change the gratitude that we show to God in our lives. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Amen. We rise to sing.